Hey y'all, it is I, Anthony the Canadian Guy, and welcome to WrestleSode, the solution to your wrestling information problems. WrestleSode is a member of the Win Column Sports Network, so remember to check us out at wincolumnsports.ca to be kept up to date on everything happening here in Alberta in the world of wrestling. Today, I am so excited to be bringing you my interview with Mr. Saturday Night himself, Dylan Stone. That's right, I got to sit down and have an amazing conversation with Mr. Saturday Night himself. Seriously, he's one of the most interesting and fun characters that we have here in Alberta. He's clearly one of the best wrestlers that we have around here. An amazing talent with just incredible fun stories and just a really cool and insightful view on the entire scene. So you're not going to want to miss this. But before we do get into that, we're going to hear from our sponsors over at the Win Column Sports Network, and more specifically, our good friend Kyle Shaw at the Monday Night Shaw podcast. He's such a fun guy. I really love Kyle. You guys should go listen to him, aka the Canadian Goose, as you know him around here. Honk honk. Big fan of him. So go tune into that, and we'll hear our interview with Dylan Stone right after this.
Okie dokie. Hey, all you cool cats and kittens. This is your favorite humble ring announcer turned one half of the RCW Tag Team Champions of the World. It's me, Kyle Shaw, a.k.a. Honk Honk Honk, the Canadian Goose, and I want to thank you for tuning in to the Win Column Sports Network, and I want to let you know that I, too, have a podcast on this network, and it's called Monday Night Shaw. It comes at you every couple of weeks most of the time. Basically, I sit down, I shoot the shit. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say shoot the shit in an ad or not, but I sit down and I shoot the shit, goddammit, with all my friends from the wild world of Alberta professional wrestling. It's Monday Night Shaw, it's raw, it's uncooked, no pre-prepared questions, right here on the Win Column Sports Network every couple of weeks. Check it out. Honk, honk, honk.
Hey everybody, Anthony here. I am joined with Mr. Saturday Night himself, Dylan Stone. Dylan, how are you today, my friend?
Rockin' and rolling!
I love that. That's amazing. Dude, okay, so first off, I gotta ask, because I've been asking everybody, obviously COVID, it's a weird time right now. Everybody's like weird self-isolation. How's this whole situation treating you?
I'm not gonna lie. I can't think of more than one or two days that I've stayed home the entire time. I'm always so energetic, I need to do something. So whether it be I'm going to the greenhouse or I'm picking, like I don't own trees. I've never been like a guy who like waters shrubs, but now I've got like four trees and like 30 different plants that just sit around my house because I'm like, well, I'm not wrestling. I'm not at work right now. I guess I'll just start a nursery.
I mean, you know, a lot of people probably think that they're just going to start a nursery randomly in their living room.
I guess so. In 9 months, there's not much else to do. They'll have their own.
Yeah, everybody's just really missing wrestling right now. Like, so you started doing your little green thumb right there. I started making bread unsuccessfully a whole bunch of different times. So, I mean, everybody's trying something.
What type of bread? Because I was actually watching a video on sourdough bread last night.
Sourdough. So, fun fact, me and Paul over at the YYC Wrestling Hub and the Wrestling Rodeo talk about bread incessantly. The dude is very impressive at making bread. He sent me a picture of like a sourdough that he made yesterday. It looked beautiful. He makes his own sourdough starters. I have my own sourdough starter. It did not turn very well. So
yes,
I've switched to focaccia. So I'm a focaccia man now.
I do love a good focaccia. Maybe some rye. Actually, pumpernickel. Pumpernickel is very underrated.
Well, so the rye of the sourdough that I was making was all from like a handmade rye starter that I had spent 8 days on.
Anyways. Okay.
So this
you don't
is
not use a metal days. Container when you're making it, right?
No. I was using a glass jar. So 100%.
Yeah, because that's what glass. The girlfriend was on at Instagram at 2 o'clock this morning. That's what we were looking at. Like, oh, we can make some sourdough. Got to use glass because the fermentation process will eat away at the metal container.
Yeah, it's a lot of science. Honestly, if I could give any recommendations to anybody listening to this podcast who turned in for wrestling but wants to know sourdough stuff, go check out the Wrestling Rodeo or Paul at the YYC Wrestling Hub, because the dude makes delicious-looking bread. He sent, like, it looked beautiful. It was.
I think you should have your own little recipe and cooking show, just cooking with Wrestling YYC and the Wrestling Rodeo.
We'll call it the Alberta Wrestling Cooking Show, and we'll bring in different guests. We'll bring in Dylan Stone to make, like, I don't know. What's Dylan Stone's favorite dessert? We got to figure out what we'd make.
Actually, my girlfriend started making these lemon cakes and lemon meringue cakes. So I was zesting lemons. basically she gives me the child thing to do. So while she's doing all the measuring and science stuff, she's like, Dylan, can you zest this lemon? I'm like, I'm going to zest the shit out of this lemon.
Like, this lemon has never been more rubbed raw.
Never. But Dylan Stone will teach you how to make the perfect old fashioned.
Oh, fantastic. That's a great drink. My brother is a huge fan of the old fashioned as well. So
it's all about the cane sugar. You can't skip out on the cane sugar. We'll boil up some cane sugar like in the house. We've got our own little bottles of simple syrup and whatnot. I love it.
Oh, man. So apparently everybody, if you have a sweet tooth, it's good to be friends with Dylan Stone because he's going to make some lemon squares for everybody.
Well, because my girlfriend was making us whiskey sours, like where you'd strain the egg. Mm-hmm. And so we had all these yolks left over and, well, me being drunk. And she's like, what are we going to do with all these yolks? Like, I'm just going to start making pie or cake. I can't remember what the creme brulee. That's what she was making. The creme brulee and whatever the Elsa was with those lemon cakes.
That sounds amazing. Creme brulee is like one of my favorite desserts. Do you guys have one of those like hand torches?
We actually, because they're way too expensive. So we actually bought like our own propane torch from Canadian Tire. So
it works just as well. Except you got, why not, right? And in fact, it probably burns even better.
It does very well. The problem is we just made too much because I drank too many whiskey sours. So we ran out of the little ceramic containers. So we actually started putting the creme brulee into like little coffee mugs that we were heating up in the oven.
Oh man, this is awesome. You can tell when like I've spoken to a wrestler a couple of times more than other wrestlers because we just devolve into this. It's amazing. Like,
no one wants to hear about wrestling. Tell me about your creme brulee recipe.
No, I'm not gonna lie. I'm super excited to start out my own Alberta cooking show with wrestlers of Alberta now. And I'm just like thinking across my head, I'm like, oh, who's gonna be great? I'm just guessing Tasty Travis Cole's probably got something with like marshmallow or something like that. I don't know.
Oh, it'll be, I'm sure it's got to have to do with like maple syrup. He's got to have something.
Maple syrup's delicious. We'll figure it out. There you guys go. There's enough content around Alberta. If we can't have wrestling, we're starting cooking shows because that's what's really popular on Netflix right now.
Yep.
Great Canadian baking show. What a great show that is. Anyways, let's move on from that. So Dylan, obviously you've been wrestling around Alberta for a very long time. You're very well known. You've run your own promotion. You've been champions. But let's start way back at the beginning. Dylan Stone, where did he come from? How did he get into wrestling to begin with?
I guess it's kind of a bifurcated question. There's a lot of ins and outs. Mm-hmm. I started off as an Olympic style wrestler, so amateur wrestling and whatnot. And my Olympic coach, Russell Hughes, actually used to wrestle for Can-Am Wrestling.
Wow, okay.
And he was actually a really horrible amateur wrestling coach. He would say, Dylan, go for a chicken wing. Like, but I'm on the bottom. I can't go for a chicken wing right now. So eventually we just kind of went through and I was doing more and more amateur wrestling. But with that, I started to take a step back and get into the professional side as well. And taught me. I made my debut at 16 years old for RCW, actually, in New Sarepta.
That's crazy. At 16? So I guess.
Oh, yeah.
So you've been wrestling now for what, like 12, 13 years then?
Well, I think Jack Pryor had mentioned that. Now, there's when I say I started wrestling, but then there's the year I became a real big boy wrestler. Ah. So I've been wrestling off and on for a long, long time, whether either catch wrestling, Olympic style, or pro wrestling. But I've really only been a good wrestler for two and a half years now.
Oh, I mean, that's your opinion.
I will actually watch my matches for the last 2 years. Anything before that, I will say, well, that looks like a clone. That couldn't be me. I was busy some other day.
Fair enough. But even before then, what's like your first memory of like actual professional wrestling? When they were like, let's switch you to professional wrestling, go watch the WWE or something. Like, what did you watch?
Definitely. I was a WWE guy. I didn't know about WCW for years after. Because my great-grandfather around Saskatchewan, he watched, I remember he was selling his favorites were like Archie the Stomper Gouldie and some other people from Stampede.
Right, Stampede.
And he got me into the WWF when I was, I want to say early 90s. So I want to say like 93, 94.
Like the era of like Bret Hart and Diesel and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Right. Awesome. And
I was always just a Shawn Michaels fan through and through. He was just such a cocky, arrogant dickwad. I loved him so much.
That's well, I mean, everybody's got something that attracts them to different types of wrestling. Like, on the other hand, I looked at Shawn Michaels as a kid and went, he's a cocky, arrogant dickwad. I like The Undertaker. Like, you know what I mean? But everybody's got the different flavors. So, but how old were you approximately then when you started watching it?
I had him about six, seven, maybe.
Wow, that's awesome. Like, do you remember like any vivid memories from when you were a kid, like that first wrestling moment that stood out to you?
I think it was like a Saturday Night Shotgun or a Sunday Night Heat. And I remember seeing the King of the Ring brackets. I'm trying to remember, but this had to have been like 95, 96. I'm trying to think when Owen Hart was. I want to say there was Owen Hart and Shawn Michaels. I want to say that.
I want to say that was 94 or 95, but now I can quickly double check that for you.
Yeah, it could have might have been 96 with Austin. I'm honestly trying to remember, but I just remember watching it. It was after Saturday morning or Sunday morning cartoons in Edmonton with Mike Sobel. Mm. And so after that, I think they'd have it was, what depending if it was Saturday or Sunday, would have been like Saturday Night Shotgun or Sunday Night Heat. And that's when I would watch a lot of the wrestling.
And it's awesome how it's different for every kid, right? Because like some kids watched it on the weekend. I was watching it like on like Monday night. So like I was watching Monday Night Raw as a kid. I had no idea Sunday Night Heat even existed. So I was like the kid who would be watching it every week and like, what the hell happened? When they said this happened last week, when did this happen? Does this did not happen last week? Man, it was so much harder to enjoy wrestling before the internet, wasn't it?
Right? Before you had like find an illegal stream on your Shaw box and it was all like corrugated with all the static and whatnot.
Yeah, all that static.
And you're trying to make out which wrestler was which because you didn't want to pay the $29.99 back then.
Yeah, so you would just kind of have like these bleak shapes like kind of rolling around and you'd be cheering for them. You're just like, yay, I'm watching wrestling. This is as good as life gets.
Yay, Amorphous Glob won.
All right, so you started now actually moving into the actual amateur professional wrestling world. You've done your first match for RCW at 16. You got to tell me about your first match.
I'm trying to remember.
So that's a lot of people's response. Sometimes they're like, it's good. Sometimes people would be like, it was horrible. And other people are like, I thankfully have blocked it out.
I actually remember because I was there with Jinder Mahal, well, like Raj Dehesi.
Right.
He was on that card as well. But yeah, we were 16 years old. And I think my first match there was with Steven Awazchuk. And yeah, that match was horrible. I'm glad it doesn't exist anywhere.
You know what? I have a Best of RCW Year One tape just over there I haven't actually gone through yet, but I promise I will. So that's awesome. So you had your first match then with Steven Awazchuk. So if the Steven Styles is what you're saying then. So like, obviously the guy, in my opinion, I love his angry promos. I go to RCW shows all the time, obviously when Alberta is healthy and nobody's doing these, this COVID-19 things, but do you have a lot of memories of like RCW? Do you have like a favorite match that you had during that time?
That time? I think I was more concerned about the after parties than anything else. I'm not going to lie.
Saturday night fashion.
I've only become an adult in the last like 7-8 months. So,
So you've been wrestling then. It's probably been for quite a while at this point. How do you, and obviously we don't want to get too much into your personal life, but how do you juggle having a personal life where you work, you know, on and off, you know, 2 weeks at a time? Like, how do you juggle that in wrestling? That's got to be really difficult.
When I owned the CWC, it was very difficult. You just never stop. Now it's not too bad. I guess I just learned better time management skills. I finally started to grow up, to be honest with you, is what it is. Put on my adult hat and start thinking, okay, I need to set dates, get a timer, a calendar, and just try to figure things out. I mean, I still spend too much time on wrestling, as my girlfriend will tell you. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. It just, as you get older, you just have to make things priorities.
That's a very good way of looking at it. And you're at that point now where you're like, I value my time. Obviously, I want to make sure I'm spending as much time wrestling as I can, but also I have other priorities in my life that have to be addressed as well. So you think you found probably a pretty good medium at this point?
Maybe. I mean, I'm going through some junctions in my life trying to change my schedule up because I do love wrestling. I love the business of wrestling. I'd love to do more with it. That's why we're doing stuff with the Top Talent Wrestling Academy. Mm-hmm. I just got to figure out how that works in my new life, trying to find more home time than work time. Because as you alluded to before, I've always been like, I work away. So I work for 2 weeks, home for 2 weeks. Now I'm looking at the 9 to 5 Monday to Friday, like the real adult job. And I'm trying to think, is Saturday, Sunday enough time off for me? Do I get enough naps? Do I have enough time to play Diablo 3? I don't know.
Do I have enough time to get my paradigm levels up? Like, there's a lot of important questions.
I know. And then I walk away for a little bit. Then my girlfriend jumps on. Now she's paragon level, like 190. I'm stuck paragon. At 150. Yes.
I'm so bad at things lately. It's been obviously a couple of years since I played Diablo. So much fun though. What class are you playing? I got to know that.
Well, I'm Barb, like barbarian through and through. I just, even like when we play Dungeons and Dragons, like, cause my girlfriend plays D&D too. So they've got all these skill slots and spells, and that is way too much. I'm the worst at writing stuff down. Like when it comes to like, where are we on our quest? What are we doing? I'm like, no, I do badge. This is what I do. I use rage. It increases my bash. This is the extent of me in Dungeons and Dragons and any type of RPG game.
That's awesome. I miss my days of doing it as well. I also like playing barbarians and warriors though, because I like you. I like to smash things. I don't like having to smile and look pretty. I like to make things look unpretty. That's my favorite thing.
Because would you ever play like a barbarian, like me Kronk, me smash, or would you get into something weird?
Well, you know what? I always play a dwarf. So dwarf barbarians are like my thing. So they're always out fighting and drinking. Like I always play like pit fighting barbarians as well. So like I'm always getting into bar fights every time I RP. It's just the best in my opinion. I'm the most annoying player because I never follow what the DM wants. I just kind of veer off into the storyline and start bar fights.
Well, sometimes I think that's more fun because I think sometimes they become too unilateral, like everything is too sequential. Mm-hmm. Like mine, this game we just started the other day, I'm a halfling barbarian, and basically I'm Frank from Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Wait, that's the one that's played by, oh, what's his real life name? I'm trying to think of his name.
Danny DeVito.
That's right. Oh, that's...
And my character's name is Da-ne DeVito.
Dude, I haven't actually watched It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, but I know the scene about the implication. Is mm-hmm. like one of my favorite things, just, you know, because of the implication.
And that's the hardest thing. There's just so much content out there in regards to like video.
Right.
You get stuck. Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard. Like sometimes you know a lot about a show that you've never even seen before. Like that's just the reality of how the internet works these days. Mm-hmm. Like I know quite a bit about Game of Thrones, never watched one episode, and I don't really care to be honest.
just watch the whole thing, just stop the last season and just make the end up in your own head.
That's what I say about Dexter as well. You can watch until the last season and then just stop and just make up the rest in your head.
Or stop. Did they still have a lot of incest in the last season? Because that was a big selling point for me.
In Dexter?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's probably the same selling point of Game of Thrones for a lot of people too. I mean, yeah. I'm pretty sure that happened in the last season though. Yep.
Oh, there's a lot. And that's the weird thing about Game of Thrones. They really normalized incest to the point where you're cheering. You're like, that's right. Fuck your aunt. Fuck your aunt. That's what we're cheering. That's what we're cheering the whole time.
Oh, man. Anyways, let's move on from that. I got a couple of questions
wrestling. For
you. Right back to wrestling. So you talked about how you ran your own promotion. Tell me a little bit about the CWC. Tell me about how it all began, how many years you ran, things like that. What are you proud of the most with the CWC?
I think just what we built up to it. So just a kind of a preamble, basically. A lot of us in our ragtag group, so Jack Pride, Johnny Kickass, and a few other guys like that, we didn't really have anywhere else to work, like in different wrestling companies. Just because everyone else has their spots, you'd have to travel through Edmonton and Calgary, and we're in Red Deer, so it was just hard for us to always make the cities, make the towns, and kind of break in that way. So eventually we kind of said, well, screw it. We're just going to build a ring and start running shows.
So it was pretty much like, just like you guys were like, I have this beautiful idea. And then like, how long did it go from like, you guys, I have this idea to we're running our first show?
Very quickly. Cause there was a promoter who ran a company called the XWE, and so we kind of piggybacked off that, and then he stopped the shows dead in their tracks, but there were still, with the venue we were running in Springbrook, there's still one more show date left on the contract. And we were all kind of upset the way it ended. So we're like, we can do this. So we literally had our own ring built in 3 weeks.
You had your own ring built in 3 weeks? Like you had it like professionally done, or did you guys all like go into a garage and you're like, let's figure this out?
As we've just got some duct. No. I actually had a welder friend of mine who loved wrestling, and we literally looked at every single plan from Stampede Wrestling to WWE, and we fabricated. Well, he fabricated. I just paid for it. That was my. If I was a superhero, my skill would be money.
Your wrestler of choice today is IRS. Like that's where you came in.
Exactly.
You were the $1 million man.
Yeah. So I just threw a bunch of money at it. We built it, and we're like, oh, we had a show. And again, we had our sellout crowd at, I think Fire Co. was like 225. And then we're like, well, I guess we keep going. So it was wintertime. That was like the end of the season. And then we started back up. And the next show we did in Black Falls, we did 440 people.
Wow.
Yeah. And at that point, you're just like a dog that caught the car. Like, I don't know what to do now.
You're just like, I guess I keep chasing the car.
You're in the car now. Yeah, at this point, you're going 70 down the highway. You can't let go. Because the shows weren't always the best, but you kind of learn, well, what you didn't do, and you just kind of constantly reassess and reevaluate. And it was very weird that how successful we were in such a small market and small venue. Like, say, if you compare some of, like, the Edmonton or Calgary shows where we were selling more tickets in Black Falls, Alberta, than some people were in Edmonton and Calgary, and we're not sure how we did it.
So you're sitting there, you're like, I have this lightning in a bottle, and you're just kind of figuring out how you keep it from just, like, blowing up in your face kind of a thing.
Basically. And again, I was still doing the 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off. So I fly away to work. I'm running our social media. I'm trying to get our posters done. And then they'd be like, hey, Dylan, we need you over in the operating room. I'm like, coming. Run back, start working on the posters again. And you'd get back from my 2 weeks of work, say on like a Wednesday or something. I'd sleep Thursday, get everything finalized, get people's envelopes for their money on Friday night, where we would break down the ring, because we had like a performance center where we had the ring set up. We would break it down Friday night, wake up early Saturday morning, set it up, and I'd be there from like 7 a.m. till we finish the show at 9 p.m. Then I have to do the after party till 3 in the morning. Then we wake up 5 hours later, put the ring back, and then I would probably Monday, I would start putting the posters out, getting the tickets to our sponsor, do that for another 7-8 days, fly away to work, and then do it all over again for 3 to 4 years.
That's intense. What can you say is probably the biggest lesson you've had to learn being a promoter? Because I always like to say this, and I've said the same thing when I spoke with the Stormbringer and when I spoke with Sydney Steele, because they've also worked as promoters, and Sydney Steele currently still working as a promoter. When you're a wrestler, you come to the venue and there's obviously stresses that you have to deal with. You know, a lot of times you want to set up the ring, you want to prepare for your match, you know, you're really focused, you want to put on the best possible show, you want to bring down the match or the ring later. But as a promoter, though, you're wearing about a million different hats. There's not just one match that you're really worrying about. There's a million different things. So trying to focus into just one area, it's almost impossible. So I can't even really kind of begin what it's like when you have all that responsibility on your shoulder.
Yeah, I guess the biggest thing is just put blinders on and just don't look around. Just keep going. Just
stay
keep
focused.
Swimming. Yes, just keep swimming. Just keep swimming.
Would appreciate that, my friend.
I guess the biggest thing, you also have to, again, I had a lot of failures. We were very successful, but personally, there were a lot of failures for me seeing where we did things wrong and just trying to get better. I guess the biggest thing I would learn is learn to delegate and learn to say no. Just because there's only so much I can do. And it was definitely burning me out after those 3-4 years. Mm-hmm. Just because we had such a meteoric rise. Like we were like we, with the Backbreaker Media, we had the Evolution TV show. We had sponsorships. I was making more wrestling than I was at my real job, which was kind of weird. I was putting, as you said, there's, where did you find the time? Sometimes I was putting too much into wrestling and a lot of other things in my life suffered. And I guess that was a big thing why I finally decided to just shut the doors after, I want to say 3 or 4 years it was. I just ran too hard for too long was be a big thing.
And you know what? Nobody can blame you. You built something that was absolutely incredible. You hear people talk about the CWC still around Alberta to this day and the incredible matches that, for instance, you and Jack Pride put on, for instance. It's really cool when you get to hear these stories because, and unfortunately in my regard, like I wasn't really paying attention to the CWC at the time, being out there in Red Deer, and I was just kind of breaking into the Alberta scene. So I didn't really learn about it until it was already gone. And like, I can tell you as a person like who heard about the CWC, it's just like, it just sounded like such an awesome promotion to the point where I'm like watching Backbreaker Media do their posts of their shows and everything. Like I like to go back and watch it because it was such a high quality production. So congratulations on that, by the way.
Thank you. I mean, I think that's a good thing is the most important thing to me was a lot of those small memories. And that's why, like when I walked away from it, some of the best things are treating wrestling. Because once you make something a business and make it your job, sometimes you take the love out of it. Mm-hmm. Now the way I treat wrestling now is I make it work for me instead of having myself work for wrestling. So that's, I'm enjoying wrestling far more now than I ever have.
I really like that. And I think everybody needs to kind of find that happy medium. If you go too hard, too fast, you burn yourself out. It's really easy to give up and, you know, start back at square one. But when you find that nice, happy medium and everything feels like you can find a nice, comfortable pace, that's the best way to succeed at anything.
Yeah.
Now, I've got a couple questions here that I've been asked. I have a question here from Paul over at the YYC Wrestling Hub, and I really like this one. Now, he said, Jack Pride the other day dreamt up a dream tag match where the Neon Knights were versus Matt Taven and Mike Bennett. Now, having worked with Matt Taven a year ago and winning by disqualification, what would it mean to you to get your hands on Taven and get a clean win over him this time?
I could lose and still be happy, honestly. No, it was just, it was such a surreal moment for me, that Matt Taven match. Such an amazing individual. Just on a personal level and a professional level, I can't say enough good things about him. And he was so giving and he kind of gave the world to me. And I really appreciate him, again, personally and professionally, just because he did a lot of things for me that he didn't have to. And just the opportunity to work with him again, especially me and Jack Pride of wanting to do more and more tag team matches. It's just, we're either in different companies or he's a heel, I'm a baby, I'm a heel, he's a baby. We've almost never been able to tag because of it. So me and him to have that match against Matt Taven, who's actually like, he's my celebrity crush, to be honest with you. And Jack Pride is a massive fan of Mike Bennett, again, personally and professionally. I think it'd be amazing for us in many ways. One, because A, we have such admiration for both those individuals, but also because we would love to test ourselves against, again, part of Ring of Honor, like trios champions, tag team champions, and just titans in our industry. So it'd be great for us to learn and work and test ourselves against them. It would be an amazing thing.
I love that, man. That would be so much fun to watch. I would love to see you and Jack Pride team up more often. Hey, promoters out there, Rand Alberta, you hear this. Just for clarity, that's something a lot of people would like to see, I would say.
Right?
Now, I have
Jack
another
Pride
question.
Jack Pride gets lonely without me.
Right?
Sorry, Jack Pride gets lonely without me.
Well, I mean, they get lonely without you, I suppose. That's how they
do.
They do. Now, I have another question here for you. So, obviously, you got to take place in the Northern Alberta Invitational, the tournament that was created through the Top Talent Wrestling Academy. Now, mm-hmm. The quarterfinals have been shown, and obviously, you had your win against Heavy Metal, and you'll be facing Michael Richard Blaze in the semifinals. Now, with all of this set aside, because obviously the spoilers aren't out there yet, because it airs on Saturday. Now, you've getting to work against Heavy Metal and Michael Richard Blaze in the Northern Alberta Invitational. Some two of the best people in the province, Now, a lot of people think of you as being on their level, but slightly underrated in comparison to them. Who do you think, by comparison, are some of the more underrated wrestlers in Alberta?
Underrated in Alberta? It's hard because then you think, what is properly rated, this and that. Some people don't get enough spotlight. A lot of the guys in PPW, just because they're only in that area, I think a lot of those individuals don't get their due. I don't know them enough, but I know their skill that they don't get enough shine.
Right.
That. In our area, I would love to say Heavy Metal, even though he's been a multiple time champion, still the champion. I don't think people give him enough due for him technically and his structure. I'm a really big fan of everything Metal does.
Metal's a beautiful wrestler, I will say. Getting to really enjoy his shows every time I get to go to RCW these days. It's been such a treat to watch Heavy Metal work. Like, as you say, in terms of like underrated yet still being the champion, it still makes sense if you can really think about it in that regard. The guy is a beautiful worker, and congratulations to destroying him in his own tournament, by the way. That was awesome to do the commentary on. I have to say, you put on a beautiful match, and I cannot wait to watch to see what you do against Michael Richard Blaze this Saturday on the semifinals.
Thank you. I will do my best to land on my head repeatedly again.
Well, there you go. Now, I have another quick question here for you. This is one that I've asked every single person I've ever interviewed, and it's probably my favorite question. Now, throughout time, there has been countless belts, different types of championships to represent different types of companies and different times at these different companies. If there was ever a promotion or a championship that Dylan Stone would love to hold and to carry, what championship would you like to say is Dylan Stone's championship?
The yeah. 10 pounds of gold. Like, oh my God, that is, I just think that is Flair. That is Steamboat. That is, I can't even like say words right now.
You there just are say, so many. That
there's Steamboat, that Dusty Rhodes. You think Harley Race. There we go.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yes, absolutely. No, and that's a great way of looking at it. Like all those old school, like what I would almost call like larger than life characters that in my opinion built wrestling came through the NWA.
And like I just think NWA as the company built wrestling in North America and all over the world for so long. So a lot of wrestling's lineage owes it back to that 10 pounds of gold.
It's a beautiful, beautiful belt to be holding. Do you have like a dream match? Like who would you want to take it off of? Like, let's just be honest. Anytime, any person.
I don't know. Me and Jack Pride, WrestleMania 40. I don't know. Well, somehow WWE buys the NWA or something. I don't know. Because I love, and again, I also want to say Jack Pride is very much, it sounds dumb when we say how amazing he is, but he very much is an underrated performer for what he can do. I look up to Pride in a lot of his work. Again, one of my best friends, probably my best friend, but also when I'm in the ring with him and I see how crisp he is in certain things, it makes me want to step my game up. So I don't think he gets the, again, I know everyone's like a huge fan of Jack Pride and he's like a multiple time champion, but I also think he doesn't get enough due for what he is capable of. And if I could ever have a title match with anybody, it would definitely be Jack Pride for all the belts.
Pride is an absolute beast. If anybody was listening to the Northern Alberta Invitational, the predictions, I did pick Jack Pride as my prediction. Sorry, Dylan. but as you said, Jack Pride, he's got that incredible, like he's about to blow up kind of feeling with him. And I love that about Jack Pride. And I can feel like that about a lot of different wrestlers here around Alberta. Like when you say these people as like you're underrated, like you're saying these names and I'm just like, yeah. Like I could see any of these names, including yourself, on any television programming. Do you know what I mean? Anything up on like the major leagues, I would love to see like anybody reach that. But even just in a selfish way, I love seeing them in my own backyard as well.
Mm-hmm, I understand. And yeah. Thank you so much for that.
Yo, you're very welcome. Now, before we do let you go here today, let's talk a little bit about the Top Talent Wrestling Academy. Give your plugs into that. Tell us a little bit about what's going on with the Top Talent Wrestling Academy.
Top Talent Wrestling Academy. We're trying to stay active during the Corona 19 and all that. So we are doing our online seminars right now. We just had our Ethan Page seminar last week. We're doing Victor of the Ascension this week. And who knows, you might see some other big names come into our online seminar soon. But again, as soon as we can open up, as soon as I also get the website up at toptalentwrestling.com, or find us on Facebook at Top Talent Wrestling Academy, Instagram on Top Talent Wrestling Academy, and Twitter at Top Talent Brand. Just keep up to date with us and we can get you to become top talent today.
I like that. I've got to wait for this whole COVID-19 situation to lift, because the next opportunity I get to go up there to Edmonton, I can't wait to swing by the school if you guys will even let me in. But
just swing by my place. We'll just sneak through. We'll sneak through the window.
Oh, there you go. Fantastic. It'll be super easy. All right, Dylan.
Why does Dylan have a key? I don't know.
He does social media. We just gave him a key. It just makes him feel important. Dylan, thank you so much for chatting with me here today. But before we let you go as well, plug yourself. Where can people hear about Dylan Stone, Mr. Saturday Night?
Dylan Stone on Facebook. Apparently I have Twitter too. So Dylan Stone. I'm really the worst at this. Just, you'll find me.
You'll find him. Everybody look for Dylan Stone. Of course, you guys can also check out the description below. All the links will be below as well. I like to do that for everybody to the best of my ability, as long as I can find them as well.
Appreciate it. Also, Dylan Stone, D-Y-L-O-N. Mm-hmm.
You would not want to make a mistake. It would make you look like a damn fool if you accidentally put an A on a meeting invite for a conversation.
Right?
Dylan, thank you so much for joining me today, buddy. It was a pleasure, and congratulations on working with the Top Talent Wrestling Academy, on all the successes you've had throughout your career, and of course anything that you have moving forward. And good luck this weekend against Michael Richard Blaze in the semifinals for the Northern Alberta Invitational.
Perfect. Thank you so much there, Anthony.
No problem. Have a great day, buddy.
You too, bud.
A big thank you once again to Dylan Stone for joining me here today to talk his time in wrestling, his love of the sport, and obviously all of his fun stories that we had. He was one of my favorite interviews, obviously. You know, you can always tell when something's just incredibly casual, and it feels really good, and I always feel like I get that with Dylan Stone. He's just a really nice guy, and I love to chat with the man. So go check out all his stuff, and if you liked what you saw here today, remember to hit that like button and subscribe on whatever podcast app you're listening to this on. It also does help out the show immensely if you left us a 5-star rating and review, if that is what you want to do. You're going to want to stay tuned. I have an interview coming up with Taryn from Accounting, as well as the Northern Alberta Invitational winner, the Giant Orion. That was a lot of fun. You guys got to go on YouTube to the Wrestling Rodeo YouTube page and check out the Northern Alberta Invitational. I got to do the commentary, and it was so much fun. I got to edit it all together, and the quarterfinals and the finals, man, it was so good. You're going to really want to go check that out. When you have a finals that is something like John Ryan versus MRB, it's going to be a good time, so you really don't want to miss that. What a great show it was. Thank you all once again for listening here today, and I hope you all have yourself a wonderful day.